Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 2, verses 1 through to verse 11. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. The wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, of course, was the first time that Jesus performed a miracle, turning the water into wine. It's at the beginning of John's Gospel where John records for us this lovely story. It had to do with a wedding feast. The whole community in the day of Jesus would have come for a wedding. It wasn't like we have weddings today with just a service and a reception. No, this would be perhaps a week of festivities and thanksgiving within a small community where a love of a man and woman would be celebrated. And of course, there would be plenty of wine, plenty of celebrating, plenty of feasting, plenty of celebrating the love of the bride and the bridegroom. What an embarrassment if the wine runs out. Because the host would have welcomed his guests, and he would be expected to provide everything that he needed. After all, it was a very special occasion. John doesn't tell us the name of the host concerned, but obviously it was an embarrassment that the wine had run out. What could be done about it? Now, Mary was there with the disciples. Jesus was there. It was early in his ministry. His time, as he said to his mother, had not yet come. Jesus always systematically worked out his ministry in order that the development of his ministry would ultimate in his ultimate sacrifice for us. Everything was planned, everything was ordained. And here it is. A mother says to her son, "Do something about it." And he says, "Mother, my time has not yet come." He resisted her, first of all, but who can say no to your mother? And that's precisely what happened here. And there were some ceremonial jars there that were filled with water, 20 to 30 gallons of water each. These ceremonial jars would have been used for ritual cleansing. In the dusty roads of Galilee, guests, first of all, would have their feet washed by the lowliest of the servants. And that was the purpose of these ceremonial jars. Plenty of water at hand to welcome the host, to wash their feet, and to ensure that they were shown a great and warm welcome. So Jesus, he submitted to his mother's will. Mary instructed the servants to fill the jars to the top. Six water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. "Fill the jars with water," Jesus said to the servants. I often think, how would the servants have reacted to that? Can you think about it for a moment? How would they have reacted to that? What is this man doing? It was early in the ministry of Jesus. He hadn't performed any other miracles before this. There was not a great deal of talk or discussion about Jesus at this time. And so they'd have thought, what is this man doing? Why do we have to do this? What's the purpose of filling these jars with water? We'd use the water now to wash the feet of those who had come in. Why fill them up again? That purpose was over. But no, they submitted to his will. The best wine there could be. Now, I don't know if there are any wine connoisseurs here today. I'm sure there are. In a good non-conformist temperance tradition, we as Baptists. We don't talk much about wine. But the reality is, this was the best wine of all. They were amazed. The best wine. Normally, the best wine is served at a time that is relevant. You don't keep the best wine for the end. No, of course not. But this was the best wine of all. The water had been turned into wine. And there was celebration. Embarrassment had been avoided. Great embarrassment and shame had been avoided because Jesus turned the water into wine because his mother told him to do it. Isn't it amazing when you think that God, who created the ends of the earth, God incarnate in the midst of men, should submit to his mother's request? It's not yet my time. He did resist her, but in the end he succumbed. You know, it's wonderful to know that, isn't it? To know that Jesus took on human flesh, that he was subject to all the temptations that we are tempted to, yet he was perfect without sin, but yet he submitted to his mother's will. He cared for his mother. From the cross he cared for her. The amazing love that Jesus showed to his dear mother. Well, what does this miracle tell us today? After all, we must have a message here for us in the contemporary situation in which we find ourselves. This is not just a lovely story, this has a meaning. This has a deep meaning for us as Christians. And first of all, do you know, dear friends, when the wine runs out, when life for us is tough, when we in a situations of loneliness or feel that life is passing us by, we have the assurance of a Christ who can turn things around, who can make all things new in your experience and mine. When perhaps we have financial problems, marital problems, domestic problems, things that no one else knows about. Perhaps we're going through a tough time in work, perhaps we feel lonely and bereft, perhaps you put on the news in the night and you feel as if you want to weep. To whom shall we go? This is the one who changes life. This is the one who can bring joy where there is despair and need. This is the one who turned the situation of hopelessness and despair round to a reason for rejoicing. And it's in knowing him and trusting in him and him alone that we have this wonderful assurance. I will be with you, Jesus said, even to the end of the age. And that's been the testimony of the saints through the ages. Those who have trusted and believed despite the evil of the world that is around us at the moment. Our friend here from Nigeria, his people, as Christian people, are suffering terrible persecution for their faith, leaving everything on the altar of service to their Lord, giving their lives, because they know in whom they can believe and trust. They know the one who was raised from the dead that they might share eternal life. We know the one who can make all the difference in the world and can ensure that we can look at the news tonight and look through eyes of faith that God is still working and that God will bring good out of evil. And it is the final analysis of the word of God that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the hope we have of the Christ who turns things round. The Christ who turned the water into wine, the best wine of all, wants to give you the best assurance of all, wants to give you that blessed assurance and that joy that can trace the rainbow through the rain. And know the promise is not vain, the dawn shall tearless be. George Matheson, blinded, rejected by his fiancée. I trace the rainbow through the rain. O love, that wilt not let me go. Incredible, really, when you think about it. Incredible in its grace and in its fathomless love that God has for you and I. So this morning, dear friends, if you have problems and concerns and anxieties, if life has been tough for you, he is the one who can turn all things around. I will be with you even to the end of the age. And that's why, as the people of God today, on this Mothering Sunday, we can remember what Mary said. Do as he tells you. Do as he tells you. She had that confidence. And when we listen to his words, when we trust and believe in him, then we too can have that assurance today in the darkness and the evil of the world around us. Because here is a love that wilt not let us go. And then, of course, it was Mary herself who came to the fore, as I said. You know, even Jesus at 30 years of age needed a nudge from his mother. And I think that is something we need to be ever aware of in the church, you know. We need one another. We need to share with one another. And we need to say a word in season as well. Some of our dear and loved young people are being baptized next month. They will need to grow in the faith. They will be to nurture in the faith. They will need someone to come along and to be with them. Come from loving Christian homes. We thank God for that. But they need the community of the church, of God's people, of those who will be with them and those who will try and help them along the way. We all need one another. We all have our different needs. We are the fellowship of God's people. We come together as the people of God. And we need to hearken to this situation and be sure of it. The reality that we find here, of course, is that Mary was discerning. Mary knew that Jesus could turn all things around. And he could do that in your experience and mine. I wonder what the disciples would have thought at this time. Because remember, they had been called by Jesus shortly before this to follow him. John the Baptist had declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus' first disciples were called by the lakes of Galilee. They left everything. "Come," he replied, "and you will see. I will make you fishers of men." Andrew, Simon, Peter, they were seeing amazing things now. Imagine them being confronted by this miracle. Who is this man? Who is he? What is he doing? They believed in him now, according to the word of God, because of this miracle. That had been affirmed. We live in a secular society where the Christian faith is almost on the periphery now. We were a Christian country at one time. We lived according to those words, to those dictates that we found in the Word of God. That seems to be eroding day by day. That's why the church is so important in God's plan. That's why we're here to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only means of salvation. That's why we need to call men and women in our land back to faith and trust and belief in Him. But in this community of God's people, we seek to do His will. We will fail because we are human, but He is divine. Sometimes we will do things that we will regret. Sometimes we might have been insensitive to the needs of others around us. Let Jesus welcome the disciples. They must have been asking questions. If you are asking questions today, just listen to His words and be encouraged within the body of Christ to grow in faith and knowledge of Him. Come to the prayer breakfast a week on Saturday morning to share it together in prayer for this church and those being baptized. Come along and share together. Think about coming to Bible study again and coming around the Word of God and growing in faith. Remember that that's what God calls us to be, to grow in faith and knowledge of Him. Let's be those people who are ever aware and sensitive of the needs of the community out there. As we have sung, He's the God of the poor. He's the God of the weak. Who is to help them if we aren't there to help them? For all the good of government intentions, they fall away because God has given us this commission. We need to encourage one another in the faith once given to the saints. And that's what we need to do as the people of God. To follow His example. To be lights in the darkness of the world around us. To call to be His people in the world of which we are a part. Mary said, "Do what He tells you." May we as a church always do what Jesus tells us to do. Let's discern His will in all ways. Let's seek to be part of the body of Christ, and in doing that, to bring light to the darkness of the world. To remember that we are the children of God, ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven, to be His means of bringing the light and joy to the world around us. I often think about this miracle, not only in terms of the miraculous, not only in terms of what Mary said, not only in terms of the surprise of the disciples, but the very nature of it. Why was this the first miracle? Why was it something that seems to be, well, not quite in line with what theology speaks about in terms of the greatness and glory of God? It was a simple place of a marriage. They had come together to celebrate the love of a man and a woman. Mary and Jesus and the disciples had come to this situation. It wasn't in the temple court. It wasn't at the side of a mountain where Jesus fed 5,000 people. It was quietly in this context of a home, of a family. And you and I are part of the family, dear friends. Be sure of that. And we have a part in what God has ordained for us to do. Not only did Mary tell the disciples, to observe and to do what he said. But I think the greatest message of this particular miracle is the filling of the jars to the brim. Filling the jars to the brim. And everything that was needed was provided for. Remember, these were ceremonial jars. It was in the ritual cleansing of the people here who would come. And it reflects, finally, does it not, on the very nature and the extravagance of God. Or the very nature of God's love for you and for me. Doesn't it show to us the very character and the very impetus of what grace is all about? There was more than there was needed. It was the best wine of all. You couldn't fault that at all. They delighted in it. People were amazed. Why keep the best wine till last? Why do that? Good gracious me, people just do not. That it was unexpected. It was extravagant. The jars were flowing over with generosity. Jesus fed 5,000 people. He didn't hold anything back. And there were 12 baskets left over. Can you imagine that? What would you do with 12 baskets of food left over when already he had fed 5,000 people? Well, what can we say? Extravagance. Amazing generosity. And that's the very nature and character of God. And that's what we see finally revealed. If these jars were filled with water that was wine for ceremonial washing, it leads us to the cross of Jesus. And in this season of Lent, in which we celebrate Mothering Sunday, it leads us to that ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross. Because there we see the fulfillment of all the promises of God. There we see the one who is without sin become sin for us. Here we hear the words, "It is finished." And if you translate that back to the Greek, it sort of implies a transaction has been completed. And we do sing that. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. That's the nature of God's love. Extravagant love. Lavished upon sinners like you and me who have been redeemed by the love of God in such a wonderful and gracious and fulfilling way. Because we have met with love. Love that redeems, love that runs to us in our need, love that embraces us as like a boy who came from a distant land and expected to be sent to the kitchen as a grass bath, but he received grace, he received forgiveness, he received love, and that's what it's all about. The love of God, the extravagant love of God for you and for me. Dear friends, as we come in this Lenten season, and on this particular day, let's remember that. Jesus transformed a situation of hopelessness and despair. And now he brings to us the best that heaven can provide. The grace of a God who meets with you and I and redeems us in our need. So I don't know how many of you are wine connoisseurs here this morning. I would hope there wouldn't be many, but you never know. The reality is, I want to tell you, whatever glass of wine you'll be having later on today, if you are, behave yourselves. But I want you to remember. I want you to remember that God gave his best for you. He gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love beyond our deserving. Love and grace. Listen to him, Mary said. Listen to him. And the world was changed. And that's the hope today for Iran and Ukraine and Sudan and all the evil in the world. They will not have the last word. Because the promise has been made. The covenant has been fulfilled. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. It's a wondrous story of grace, dear friends. The wedding at Cana shows us that even when we think we've run out, God is just getting started. Yeah? The best is yet to come. Not because of anything we've done, but because of who God is. Deo Cariadu. God is love. Love divine, or love's excelling. Amen.